Kino Yudalef, Rabbi Chiel Nussbaum.
Menashe was the king of Yehuda, the king from David HaMelech, from Shlomo HaMelech, and a king that knows he's from a dynasty, knows I am a Achad HaAm because I come from David, because I come from Shlomo. And yet despite that, he threw himself with a zeal into Abu Zarah and corrupted his family, Yehuda, government, in violence ways and in Avodah Zarah ways. And he had a very long reign. He was a king for 55 years. And for half of that reign, he went about with his zeal doing that. And maybe that would have been the end of him. But Hashem sent him Tzoreis. He was captured. He was allowed to go back to be king. And he was humbled. But when you already have a setup that all the people you're working with and your family and your systems are corrupt, it doesn't mean you have the zeal to go uproot it or the strength to uproot it. So the last 25 years he didn't do about the Zara, but the system went further. And his son Amon followed the system of the first 25 years of his growing up under his father. And for 2 years he continued the evil that was going on. When he died, his 8-year-old son Yoshio became king, and he started casting in his mind, who was David? David was a great warrior. David was fearless, but he did it all for Hashem. And he made a city where people sang to Hashem, people learned all night, people would, the king was like that, and you want to be like the king. But people wouldn't put their lulav and esrog down for a minute on Sukkot because they were in love with their lulav and esrog. And he thought about this, and how can I do this? And with these things in his mind, he had the kohanim go. The Beis Hamikdash was abandoned. Why should we be into the Beis Hamikdash? Who cares if there's cracks in the walls and dirt on the floor? And if it is bad, has a pagam, doesn't have a pagam. And he got together zeal to fix up the Beis Hamikdash, and probably because of that Mesiras Nefesh, they found in the wall the Sefer Torah Shekasa Biad Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer Torah, and they brought it to him, astounded, and they opened it up and they read, oh, here's the Sefer Torah, and it says Hashem is going to lead you and your king away to a nation that they never were at. And he tore his clothes, because that's where he was going anyway, to improve. And he got everybody together, and he made everybody swear to serve Hashem. And they joined in his brigades, the police, wherever there was a bazaar, to tear it down and fix it up. And everything was going very well. Incidentally, I know a time when this happened in our times. A man who... he's a poet. He came into yeshivas for a while. He left. I don't think he ever became totally Orthodox. He went back to Europe to find his roots, and he describes so well. He went to every city, and there was nothing left of Judaism. Oh, there's the stable over there. That used to be the shul. Oh, there's a Beis Olam outside, where there are some, you know, some Jewish names in it. And finally, he got to his town. When he got to his town, there was actually a little museum there, and they had a little corner with it, a Simon box and a, you know, a few Jewish things. And the guard in the museum saw he's interested. He was a guy, most of the young, the teenage guy in there, he found a lot of them could speak English in every town. He said, this is nothing. My father is a world famous collector. You come to my house, and I'll show you Jewish things from before the war. He came to his house, he wasn't broom at the time, the guy served him tea and cake, and would show him things, the sunbox, a locket from with a little girl's picture who must have gone up in ashes. And there was a law then in Poland, you can't take anything out of Poland that was manufactured before, I don't know, 1940 something. So he knew anything he wanted to take out, he had to slip in his pocket or shoe. He left a little money under the tablecloth to the guy. And then the guy said, oh, I have something you'll really be interested in. I have something you'll really be interested in. And he brought out a Sefer Torah. Now, he wasn't frum, but it upset him terribly that a goy has a Sefer Torah. And he knew he can't take it out. You can't hide a Sefer Torah in your suitcase. And the guy said, no, I see what's worrying you. Don't worry about it. He laid it on the table, took the scissors, and cut out of your ear from the Sefer Torah. And now he was terribly upset. He said, thank you. He rolled it up and he left the money and ran out of the house. I mean, he couldn't read Hebrew. And he got home and he asked a friend of his, that's how I know, so I know the friend. He said, what does it say here? And it said, Hashem is going to make your cities waste, and he's going to make your flesh the food for the birds of the heavens. And that's the urea that he came out with. It was all predicted, it was all there. That was going to happen. Now, back to Yoshiyahu, he fought against this, and he fixed it up, and everything was going the right way. And they made a Pesach celebration that from, it says from Shmuel HaNavi, I don't know where Shmuel HaNavi separated Pesach, but it means at least the whole base of Mikdash, there had never been a Pesach celebration like he made. And then the king of Mitzrayim asked, can I pass through Eretz Yisrael to fight with my enemies at the other end of your country? And he felt we're going so well that there's no more Avodah Zarah, and it says in the Torah that Goyim won't even pass through your country. He told him no. And Yirmiyah sent him a message, it's not so good as you think it is, there's more to do, and give in to him, don't fight with him. And he went out to fight with him anyway, and they sent 300 arrows into his body, and Yirmiyah ran over to him and heard him as he was dying say, I didn't listen to Hashem, which I didn't listen to the Navi, I didn't listen to Hashem, and I deserve it. Now let's go through a few lines here and give an outline of what to me is the point. Vaikoni Yirmiyah Yoshio is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that Yirmiyah wrote a lament on Yoshio, and Rashi says it's the fourth parak of Eicha, where he includes all Bnei Tzion, even though he wrote it because of Yoshio. And he made it a chok that whenever we lament our own calamities, we can throw in Yoshio and the Bnei Tzion, I guess also from that. Now, in order to feel and do a zmira or a kinnah right, it's often useful for us to always realize that the word order is different. For example, the beginning, Echa Eli means, let's wail out, Echa, how could it be? And you read the word, how, wail out, it might not hit you. So be ready for that when you read, to switch words around, a lot more lines will make sense. Echa Eli, wail out, how could it be? Konenu, say a kina may Elo. It doesn't mean by itself. We say, Michamocha bo Elam Hashem, and Elam means mighty ones. So, konenu, say kinos about some of the mighty ones that have fallen. I think that puts us in the opposite direction. Now we walk around saying, we can't even imagine that world. We walk around saying, wow, there is an Israel. Wow, we won this battle. Wow, we have educational institutions, and they're all wow. We have to appreciate the Eicha, how could it be that they walked around saying, we lost the battle? Are you sure? They walked around in the other direction. After when I felt this was after 9/11, I went to America shortly, a month or two after, and after something, I had to take a ferry from New Jersey to Manhattan, and I couldn't look at the skyline. It was so upset. I couldn't imagine that something so strong could be just not there. I took it so for granted, the strength of America. And so, they're coming from the other direction. Yoshio was expected to win. They were expected to step on the bottom of the goal. And this is Konan Umeyelam, the mourn his mighty ones. Then it tells the story, and then the land. Well, it's in this stanza, so we'll go straight. Ben Shmonim Shana Hechal Adrosh Me'ilah. He, on his own, here it doesn't mean on his own. On his own, he started to seek Hashem. Bnei Cham Ba'avram Chanu Alav, the sons of Cham, the Mitzrim, camped against him. Huska Lo Sigui Mufalav. And all his mighty deeds were not remembered. We have the word in Gemara, Sagi means a lot. You have Lo Yisge, you have in Kabbalah Shabbos means just switch the Samach to a sin. It's not remembered for him, Sigui Mufalav, his great deeds. So what's the point? Are we supposed to learn from the Kina? It's never good enough. Whatever you do, it's never good enough. You could go to a Chavetz Chaim shir and walk out. It's never good enough. That's not the way it's supposed to work out. So what's the... And the next few stanzas are describing his great deeds to make the point of how astounding it was that he should die with 300, everybody's on an up, and everybody's serving Hashem, and okay, there were some guys behind the doors that didn't catch, hiding their bodhisattvas, and it's not good enough. Yet the punchline, after all sound good, is he says when he dies, Sadiku Hashem ki marisi pi. Hashem's right, I didn't listen to this thing that Rabbi told me. Hashem's right. Yirmiyah and Yoshiyahu are doing a very Jewish ability that's in all of us. Right? The Gemara says in Sukkim that the Yid gives a dollar to Yifya B'ni, he's a tzaddik tani. He doesn't mean only Yifya B'ni, and if his son dies, he won't say, give me back the dollar. And he gives us $100,000. He won't say, give it back. And a guy is not like that. And the Gros says maybe Shlema that a guy he does all kinds of stuff, gives tithes, whatever he does for his God, and when something goes wrong, he fights with his God. So I saw this once myself, my mother saw it other times. I was once hanging around a hospital room and I saw a television show about Nabuch children disappear. Now we happen to a frum boy, a Jewish boy, but the children disappear and often comes out they were murdered. So they were interviewing people who went through this, and they interviewed a galaxy, a man and his wife, older couple that were ministers, and she's telling her experience, and she said, she's a priestess, she said, I made a deal with God, and then she started crying and said, and you broke it. That's a Goyish reaction, it's not a Jewish reaction. My mother grew up in the Lower East Side. She said the Italian ladies, when they wanted something, they took out the little statue of a saint, and they burned a candle in front of it, and they washed it, I don't know if they put food in front of it, and if their son-in-law didn't drop dead, or whatever they wanted, they patched it, they turned it over, and they sat on it. That's not a Jewish attitude. And it's not natural for us. And sometimes people get fooled, because you hear a story here and there, or a Rebbe or a Beis, and said, Hashem, I'm taking you to Din Torah. And you see Chazals where Moshe Ben took Hashem to task, and Nevi'im took Hashem to task. I read an article by Chaim Shapiro. I wish I could find the Medrash he quotes. He said, there's a Medrash where Hashem says to the people, don't flatter me. Tell me how you feel. And I saw when Shmuel Birnbaum, a son of his who had blossomed, had really become something and friendly, and he came back late from learning, and a guard in Eretz Yisrael thought he was a ganav and shot him when he died. And Rav Shmuel by the Shiva said, I'm learning kumtas. He's the biggest masman of the world, Rav Shmuel. And his son stayed extra late for learning. He said, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, he gave a shmooze, and you know, he didn't say anything personal about himself, but he dealt with it, if you're allowed to argue with Hashem, not argue with Hashem. But you're allowed to, Hashem wants you to be honest. You can say your feelings. But to stretch that to, it's a Jewish thing to kvetch and make it, we're dealt with unfairly. Yirmiyah and Yoshio show the Jewish thing is to go seamlessly from not denial of the tzaras, facing tzaras, and a person I have a friend who has a doctorate in grief. He's the head of all the chaplains in Baltimore. And he said, often people, when people say they're arguing with Hashem, you say to them, you're not blaming Hashem, you're blaming yourself, because in your mind, you went through something like this. How could this happen? It couldn't just happen. I must have done something wrong. Okay, I forgot Yalav Yavam. You think something you did wrong. Hashem, you did this because I forgot Yalav Yavam. So people, they decided why Hashem did it, and then they blamed Hashem, I don't deserve it for that. So Yirmiyah and Yoshe, Yirmiyah in the third parak of Eicha goes through all the tzaras of them, and then he seamlessly switches to Chasti Hashem ki lo samnu. Hashem knows why he did it. I know why he did it, but certainly Chesed. I've got to put my face in the ground and fix. Hashem did it. I don't know completely why. I have to, no matter how bad it is, and the show is no different than Hebron, Gush Katif, many people handled it the right way. Hebron, they were shot at for days, hundreds, thousands of shots. One day he died, and Nissan and Flos, nobody else, somebody else, a kid came in the house. You know, there's something in my shirt, mommy. And there was a bullet in her shirt. Our Jewish reaction, we all have this koach to face what really happened. Try and picture how by them it was the opposite. It was the nace that they lost the battle, and they still faced that, and they still said, okay, what do I have to fix? I have to fix. Hashem is, that's Hashem to us, and till the end is, it's also we have to, Hashem has not yet recognized our fixing, and we have to fix. They come here.